Okay, turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 19. Got a lot of scripture I need you to be with me on today. I hope you have your Bibles. I really encourage you to bring your Bibles, bring your iPads, your phones with your Bible on them, and be ready to move through it. Because we got a lot of passages in here this morning, and we're going to talk about a topic that sort of makes us uncomfortable. And I just confess that to you. It's difficult for me to preach on it, but it's in the scriptures, and it's all through the scriptures. It's about money. You know, it's like, you know, when a preacher starts preaching about sin, you know, we're okay with that. But start preaching about my wallet, you done gone to meddling, preacher. So, you know, let me tell you what my intent is in this series. I've entitled it Cheating Yourself. Okay, cheating yourself, and I think the Bible will. I think these passages will authenticate that title, and it's like we know about cheating. We know cheating. You know, like you take Lance Armstrong. You know what Lance Armstrong win? Something like seven separate Tour de France cyclist awards. You know, first place, but what happened was Lance cheated. He cheated, and so he cheated everybody. He cheated everybody else who competed according to the rules. And so because he cheated, then he lost all his rewards. He lost them all. And so the title of this series is Cheating Yourself. And you might be thinking, well, what in the world does it mean to be cheating myself? I mean, I can understand how we might cheat others. In fact, I sort of get the knack of that myself when I like to play these games with my family, you know. I just sort of like it. But anyway, that's a different subject. But cheating, what does it mean cheating yourself? You know, I mean, if I'm cheating myself, it seems to me that would mean that there's something that I am doing that I think is the right way, but it's really not the right way. It's the wrong way. And until I get it the right way, I'm going to cheat myself. And so, we talk about money, and we think about money, and what we think about is, we think about tithing. You know, a preacher's going to talk about tithing. Well, you know what? I'm going to talk about tithing some. Not a whole lot today, but I am going to talk about that some. But here's, I think, our problem when it comes to money, particularly in the church. And in the church, what we think is, the preacher talks about tithing because, you know, they got a budget shortage. They got a budget shortage, they need money, and, all the church ever does is talk about money. That's why I'm not going back to church, because all they do is talk about money. You know, if you've been here lately, you know that's not all I talk about. And so, what if what I'm going to say today is not to solve a budget shortage? What if, really, the scripture is true, that the way we handle money can either pay rewards or we can be cheated? Would you want to know that? Think about it. You're going to stand before God one day. I'm going to stand before God one day, okay? And let's suppose you stand before God, and He says, "Let me see the record about how you handled your possessions." You say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! What's that got to do with it? I didn't know that was one of the rules." What are you going to do when God says, "Well, you know what? Did you not read my word? Did that preacher boy not preach it to you, or you just overlooked that passage?" It's like, you know, see, my role, let me show you one passage. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Let me show you one of the struggles that preachers have is, you know, we all have it, all preachers have it. You know, what I'd like to tell you is what you like to hear. I really would like to tell you what you'd like to hear. But, you know, the problem with that is it's like going to and I've used this illustration before, it's like going to the word of the Lord like you're going to go to a buffet line. You know, I go through to the buffet line, I pick out this food, I like this, and I like this, and I like this, but I don't like this one. What? Do you really think we can look at God's word that way, like a buffet line? And a preacher is just like you. I wish we could look at it like a buffet line, but you know what? I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day, and he's going to hold me account to what I told you about one topic or another, about all the topics I talked to you about. So you know what I want to tell the Lord? I say, hey, Lord, don't you remember 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19? Listen to this. It says, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He says, instruct them to do good. Well, you know what? We would all agree with that. We know that our good, the good things we do is not how we get to heaven, okay? But we know that we ought to do good. In fact, we looked at a passage in Hebrews the other day. It says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Stimulate one another. Let's talk about it. Help each other to do those kinds of things. So we know the scripture tells us that. So that first part of that 1 Timothy 6 really is not news to us. Instruct them how to do good, to do good, to be rich in good works. That makes sense. I got that. Then he says to be generous. What's this about? I mean, I can understand why I need to help each person to do the right things, but why do I need to talk to you about being generous? I mean, what's that got to do with eternal life? You understanding what generosity is. Because you know what? I'll tell you what I think. Well, I'm sort of, speaking sarcastically. I'll tell you what I think. You know what? I just want to give my tithe. Huh. I'm tithing preacher. What are you talking about? Be generous. Does not the scripture say I'm supposed to give 10%? You know, that's a tithe. Where does a tithe fit in generous? Do you know that actually, and I'm preaching the wrong sermon today. Actually, do you know that the tithe it's like the minimum? In the Old Testament, I mean, they're giving added something like 25% of their income. And so it's like, in the church, I think what we do is we think, okay, well, I'm tithing. Pastor, you need to talk to all these other people so that we'll get more people to tithe, and then we wouldn't have financial shortages. Well, that's not what I'm here to do today. I'm not here today to talk to you about tithing. I'm talking to you about being generous because I think they're two different things. I think tithing is giving to the letter of the law. And I thought that's what they did in the Old Testament. See, there's a difference between giving out of the generosity of my heart. That's totally different. So he says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. You know, I told you about that illustration. Here's a rule that I make. Most of you have heard this. If I'm driving down the highway and, up here at Route 40 on Rolling Road, I mean, that's just about pretty much absolutely I can count on it. And if I'm going up Route 40 up at Rolling Road, I'm going to see somebody begging. And this passage says I'm supposed to teach them to be generous and to share. I see somebody begging. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them some money. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I mean, aren't you just putting that guy, putting a bottle of wine in his hands? You know what? I'll tell you something. That's his responsibility. That's not mine. What he does with the money, once I put it in his hands, that's up to him and the Lord. All I know is the Lord says I'm supposed to be generous and I'm supposed to share. So I'm going to give. Now, am I going to give him 20 bucks? No, I might give him two. I might give him five, but I'm going to give him some money. Why? Because you know what that does? That affects my heart. I do that from my heart because I know if my finances are so tight that I can't give, it's because I got my miser hat on now. I got my miser hat on, and that miser hat, if it's not giving money, it's not giving a lot of other things either. He tells us, instruct them to be good, to do good works, to be generous, and to share. Then he says, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. How do I, when I be generous, store up for myself a foundation for the future? What's that passage about giving and receiving? More blessed to give than to receive. It says, in my generosity, I store up for myself the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Whoa! So you mean to tell me, preacher, that being generous is not about tithing, but it's about experiencing life indeed? Whoa. Now, I don't know about you, but that is not the way we think in the world I live in, that I experience life by being generous. Well, let me just show you something here in Matthew 6. Look at that, the Matthew 6 passage. See, because here's the way I think... Here's the way I think we think in this world. And I'll put it up in a couple little sayings. The way that I think most of us think in the world that we live in goes this way. The saying goes, he who dies with the most toys wins. Whoop, where does that go with 1 Timothy? When I was in the CPA business, I initially started out working for Ernst & Ernst, international CPA firm. And I remember this meeting I had right after I had come to work there. And some of you heard me tell this illustration. I went to one of the audit partners wanted to talk to me. And because our firm represented a large client, international client. I'll just tell you, it was R.J. Reynolds Industries, R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. I was responsible for reviewing the income tax provision in that company's financial statements that particular year. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what caused this conversation to take place, but I'm talking to Nelson. That was a partner. Nelson calls me in his office, and I really don't know what was the context of anything, but Nelson says, he says, Kip, you know what the golden rule is, don't you? What's the golden rule? Treat others the way you want them to treat you. I think, did I say it backwards this morning? 1 and 9. Did I say it right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so treat others the way you want them to treat you. And I said the golden rule back to Nelson. He shook his head. He said, no, you're in the wrong world. That's not the golden rule for this world, the business world. He says, he who has the gold rules. He who has the gold rules. Now, let's suppose that we in the church are impacted by that statement. Well, if he who has the gold rules, or he who has the most toys wins, well, I tell you what I'm going to do about that is I ain't giving you none of my toys. And I ain't go give you any of my gold coins either. Because if I give them to you, how can I win? See that? But what if, in the process of buying into what the world says, you are cheating yourself? You say, well, Pastor, how am I cheating myself? If there is a bigger reward waiting for you than an earthly reward of having the most gold when you die. Can you take that with you? I don't think I can take my gold with me when I die. You know? So whatever happens when I die, it is done. The race is over. The winner is determined. But there's only one problem with that view, you see, is because there's another world after this one. And this one is like a speck of sand in all the beaches of the world compared to the next one. So what I can do in this one will prepare my life for the next one, and that one is the life for eternity. Do you think that it would be better to use this one to prepare for that one instead of this one to prepare for this one? See, that's different. And if I miss that, if I miss that principle, then I am cheating myself so bad. You talk about shooting yourself in the foot. It's like financial planning 101. You know, we go to financial seminars and we learn how to invest wisely, what kind of assets to invest in, long-term, short-term risk, never put all your eggs in one basket. We learn all these financial principles. I know these financial principles. I used to teach them. Now, what am I going to do if all the financial principles I learned in this world are the opposite of what the Lord says? What am I going to do with that? Let me show you this passage. I got to hurry along. My goodness. Let me show you this passage in Mark 12. Let me read this to you. Jesus is in the temple. And while he's in the temple in Jerusalem, he sees the money box. Let's suppose the money box is like sitting over here. It's sitting over here, and what would happen, you see, is that people would come into the temple, and they would put their coins in the money box. Put all the coins. You just hear them ka-plunk, 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 ka-plunk. They did not have paper money in those days. They had coins. The text says, look at it, Mark 12 says, you with me? Come with me. Come with me, stay with me. If you need to stand, take a little break. If I get a little long-winded, just give me some grace. Just give me some grace, because this is good. This can have eternal significance to you. Not only eternal, when I say eternal, I don't mean it's going to happen someday in the future. I mean it can happen now. Okay, Mark 12 says this. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury. This is verse 41. He sat down opposite the treasury, that treasury box where they put the money. Okay, you can imagine Jesus. He's like sitting over here on this side. He's sitting over here on this side, and all the disciples are around him. This text says, he sat down opposite the treasury. I see the box. Okay, I got it. He sat down opposite the treasury, and he began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus had told me I'm not supposed to let my left hand know what my right hand is doing when it comes to money. How come Jesus is watching everybody put the money in the box? You think God wants us to know that he watches us how we use our money? So let me ask you a question. How many offerings did we take today? I mean, I'm not trying to get personal, but I'm just curious. Two? Oh, did you participate in two? Because that's what Jesus is watching. Okay, come with me now. Come on. He sat down opposite the treasury. He began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. We would expect the next sentence to say, and the Lord looked and said, oh, hallelujah, we're going to be able to pay the power bill this month. Hallelujah, look at those large donuts. Hallelujah. You'd think that would be the next statement. But listen to what he says. He saw many rich people putting in large sums. Verse 42, a poor widow came, put in two small copper coins, which amount to a penny. James, John, Peter, come here. I want to show you something. Hey, James, John, Peter, come here. I want you to see something. Come here. Put that down. Come sit. Now watch. Did you see the poor widow put the two coins amounting to a cent into the box? Yeah, Lord, we saw that. She shouldn't have done that, you don't think, do you? She should have kept that to herself. I mean, she's only got one penny. She should have kept it. You think that's what the conversation would be. No, the conversation is, he says, the poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned. You got another passage. It's just the opposite of what we think, because Jesus just said this woman, he's praising this woman for putting it out of her poverty. You know, there are a lot of you in here right now, you can relate to giving in your poverty, and you might be thinking, well, oh my goodness, this is all I can give. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, because you just joined the poor widow. It's not about the how much, it's about what's in your heart that causes you to give in the first place. And then listen to this passage. Now this is good. This is good. This is what he says in Luke 12, verse 18. Then he said, this is a man, a very successful man. Says, then he said, and the man has had a great year in business. He's got so much grain, he doesn't know what to do with it. You would think he's got all this grain. Why doesn't he just give it to the poor? Because otherwise, what's he going to do with it? Here's what the man says. Because see, this is the opposite of the way we think. See, until we get that point established, you and I are not going to be able to receive the fact that the scriptures call you and I to give generously. We're not going to understand it. It doesn't matter what I say. Until we understand that the world that we live in might have it wrong. Maybe life is experienced in giving rather than in wasting by holding on to what I can't take with me. Maybe. Then the rich man said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns. I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Way to go, dude. Way to do it. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Pregnant pause. Silence. God said to the man, you fool. Oh, Lord, that's pretty strong, don't you think? You fool? Wait a minute. This is, what's that guy in New York? What's his name? The businessman? The one that everybody got the bushy hair and ran for president? What's his name? Oh, Donald Trump? Oh, man, he's top of the line here, isn't he? Top of the line, Mr. Donald Trump. They don't get more businessman than he. And Donald Trump said, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your easy and drink and be merry. I'm going to run for president. I'm such a good businessman, you see. Let's call me a shark. Like Shark Tank, you know that movie? That reality show? Shark Tank. God said, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you, and now, who will own what you have prepared? In other words, Donald, you're dying tonight. What are you going to do with all your stuff, Donald? Because you see, you can't take it with you. And you've been laying it up and laying it up and laying it up. This verse is very important. The last verse he says to the rich man is this. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Did you get the way he said it? He didn't say, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and does not tithe. He didn't say that. He said, the one who is not rich toward God. Okay, brothers and sisters, are you with me here? Are you with me? You see, the world that we live in teaches us that he who has the most toys wins. The world that we live in teaches us the one who has the most gold rules. But God says the one who has all the gold and is not rich towards God loses. They cheat themselves. So you see, it's not really about tithing. Tithing is the beginning of receiving and coming to understand that God can be trusted. That's what that purpose is. That is what the purpose is. But when it comes to understanding who God is and experiencing, understanding and hearing and knowing the reality of the generosity of God, how do we experience that? But by being rich to God. That is what the scripture says in Matthew 6. Look there now. Here's what he says, and we're going to finish up right here in just a moment. Would you look at verse 19? Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19, here's what he says. And compare what we say in Matthew 6, verse 19, with the two scripture passages that I have given you, the poor widow and the rich man. Tell me which one is being talked of in Matthew 6, 19. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, but, notice the conjunction in verse 20, but, store, in other words, in other ways, in other words, don't do that, do this. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Rather, store up treasures in heaven. That's verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. Can't do it, he says. So what is he talking to us in terms of giving and in terms of our possessions? At first verse, verse 19 and 20, it tells us, the first thing is, God basically instructs us to store up possessions, but not earthly possessions, heavenly possessions. He specifically says, store up for yourselves. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, if I had an offering plate, you know what? Don't limit storing up for yourselves heavenly treasures to what you put in an offering plate. But that certainly qualifies. To store up treasures for myself for heaven, you know what he's saying? I told you a minute ago, I see a homeless person on the street, I'm going to give him money. You know what I just did? This is so unbelievable. You know what I just did? I just laid up an eternal treasure for myself. Do you understand what I'm driving at? What the homeless person does with the money has nothing to do with what I receive, what God stores up for me. In fact, there's a passage that is almost, it's almost understandable. It's Luke 16. Oh, my goodness. Turn to Luke 16. I don't have it in memory. Look at Luke 16. I want to say it's verse, I hope I have this right, 13. That's not it. Oh, goodness. Oh, it's a passage about the unrighteous steward. That's it. No. Okay, hold on with me. Just one second. Oh, no. That's not it. Oh, I got it. Verse 9. Luke 16, verse 9. Look at this. This is, I tell you, this is the most, this verse will just about, you ought to take this one home and study it a week, and can you come back and tell me what it means? Listen to this. You just take my example of giving the homeless person $2. Then we both die. Me and the homeless person. I die Friday, he dies Saturday. I'm not dying, don't worry. But let's just use that as an illustration. Okay, I die Friday, he dies Saturday. You know what this says? No. He's got to go first. He's going to go Friday, I'm going to go Saturday. Got it? Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Verse 6. And 9. Oh, goodness. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. That's money. That I know. That's money. Because this is a passage about an unrighteous steward. Make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. So that when it fails, you know when it fails? When I'm gone. When I'm dead and gone. So that when it fails, because you failed, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. You know what he just said? He said, let me help you. I'll help you right here. You know what he just said? He said, you know what? When you get to heaven and that homeless person is up there before you get there, he's going to shake your hand and say, hey, man, thank you for that $2. I am laying up for myself eternal treasures. That's what he's saying. When you give, when you share, when you give your money to people in need, when you put it in a plate and someone does an Easter pageant and someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when you get to heaven one day, when I get to heaven one day, if they're there before I get there, they're going to say, thank you, because of your nickel, I came to that pageant that this church was able to put on, and I came to know Jesus as my Savior. That's what that means. He says, lay those up for yourselves. He says to do it with generosity. You know what Luke 6, verse 38 says? It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, rolling over, shall flow into your lap. I see our world doesn't have it that way. Earl has it that we hold on to it. We invest in the stuff. Oh my goodness, did you get the latest iPad? Did you get the latest? I'm going to stand in line all night long so I can get the latest iPad product. Now you tell me if that seat, not if you did that, please don't get this the wrong way. The scripture says if your eye is clear, you will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, you'll be filled with darkness. You know what he's saying? If your heart is more concerned about standing in line because you got to have the latest iPad, you're not seeing clearly. Because that's this material possession stuff. This is the stuff. Oh my golly. Will you look at this? Will you just look at this? Look at this. It's coming off. It's coming off. It's wasting away. The latest iPad is wasting away. What am I going to do now? I've invested in something that's wasting away. That's what he says. No. This, it won't bring you satisfaction. It won't change your life. Don't make any difference what they say on TV. It won't change your life. You want your life to be changed. serve the right master. The master is God. It's like what you give to shows where your heart is. You know, think about giving. I said to you, why would I give that money to that homeless person? From my heart. I want my heart to stay open. I want my heart to be able to give, because when I give, it's like there's an open. You know, when you've been at a wedding and the bride or the groom say, I give you my heart. I give it to you. She says, I can't receive unless I'm willing to give. So when God talks about your money, he says, you want to know me? Give. You see, I'm a God giver, says God. I'm a God giver. What I will do is I will reveal myself to you in your giving. Tithing and all that stuff. God doesn't want you to feel guilty. He wants you to give out of the overflow of having experienced his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness. So you know, my goodness, if I put my last two nickels in that plate, my God's going to take care of me because my eyes clear. My mind's on him. I'm serving him as my master. I'm not serving an iPad. Serving an iPad. It's nice to have an iPad, though. But I'm not going to serve it. I'm going to serve my God. Heavenly rewards. See, Jesus gets me in the gate. God lets me store up rewards because I've given generously in his name. Now, brothers and sisters, I tell you, that'll preach. That'll preach. Because, see, that's the kind of thing you experience that. It gets down in your heart and soul. You know the truth of it, but only when you do it.